midnight, straight up, here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower.
You're incontent. You're not. Get, shut up.
Loogie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. By the way, we have crossed over to midnight, which means it is WFAN Giants training camp day. Now, none of the shows will actually be at training camp, but we will have a lot of Giant guests on the shows today, including John Harbaugh, who will join Boomer and Geo, Jackson Dart, who will join the Carton Show, and then Evan and Sean, because Tiki is off, he's on vacation. They will be joined by Brian Burns and Isaiah Likely. So very much looking forward to all those interviews.
Giants! Giants! Help us, God!
That's not a cheerleader. That's my niece, Becky, and she's pissed. Look, I think the Giants, and we'll get more into it as we roll along here in the show, and we'll be reacting to those interviews. Would it be later on tonight? Yeah, I suppose it would be later on tonight or tomorrow night. I mean, listen, if I said later on tonight or tomorrow night and it's 12:01, I don't think you'd hold me to.
Well, in fact, actually, Tommy, it's 12:01, so that means today. So if you're on later today, it's later today. Let's be real.
The Yankees are playing the Astros, game two of this series, and then I'll be on after that. And we'll react to the game as I drop my pen on the floor. I've dropped my pen on the floor, which actually is not really my pen. It's a Sharpie that I use here. I like to doodle during the show. It's just something that I do. Probably if you donate my brain to science, I'll probably tell you why I do that stuff, but I like to doodle.
Why are you out in public canoodling?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I like to doodle, and it's just where my brain goes when I'm doing a show. So in the middle of doodling there, I drop my Sharpie. I am on after the Yankee game, and we'll react to all those interviews. Obviously, we'll react to the Yankee game, we'll react to the Met game, and we'll get you ready for the final preseason games here. And we'll really ramp you up and get you ready for the start of the regular season, including a Jet team. As I was talking to a buddy today, and he's like, I'm going to play the Jets over this year. And he's a good gambler. I mean, they're good gambler. I mean, we all lose. But, I mean, I guess he loses less than others. And he's pretty good with his futures. And he played the Jet over, which is 5.5 wins, meaning he thinks they're going to win 6 or more games. Hey, famous last words. I know there is a lot of optimism surrounding the Jets, and I do think their offense will be better, although I'm not putting any stock in what Geno Smith did in a preseason game. That being said, I think it's more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired by week 6 than it is the Jets win 6 games this year. I understand being optimistic around this time of year. I understand wanting to go through the turnstile. I understand wanting to feel like your team is going to be better because Geno Smith is a competent quarterback when Justin Fields is not, obviously. Can't throw the ball forward. He just can't throw the ball, period. And Geno Smith can sling it. You know, a couple of years ago, certainly in Seattle, he could. But it still remains to be seen if Geno Smith was the big problem last year and he failed the Raiders or the Raiders failed him. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Yankees lost tonight, had an opportunity to gain a game on Tampa. The Red Sox did win. They are now 2 games back of the Yankees. So it's really tightening up in the American League East. Let's head out to Joe. He joins us from South Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Thomas, thanks for taking a few minutes for this call.
Of course.
I wanted to kind of run through the pitching situation again tonight with Aaron Boone, which just kind of, I guess maybe it's the definition of insanity, because it seems like we talk about this quite often. But, you know, we have a situation where the starter's not doing great, gives up a couple runs, but then we get back the lead.
Yep.
The biggest thing in any one of these baseball games, right, is when you take the lead,
shutdown inning. Yeah, you're looking for a shutdown inning.
Shutdown inning, right? So what do? We bring in Cruz, who, if you look at Cruz stats, for almost 80 or 90% of this year, he's going to have a walk and a home run in almost every one of those innings.
And he's been bad lately, too. He's pitched it over a 5 ERA lately, so he hasn't been very effective.
Yeah. So we take the lead, we give the lead right back. Then we fight back, and we get the lead again. Yep. And I get it, Hendricks been
oh, he's been sensational. Year, he's been unbelievable. He's been one of the best relievers, not just for the Yankees, but one of the best relievers in all of baseball.
And he has. But today, you could tell early on, he didn't have it. Why do we have to wait until they get 5 hits, 3 runs, and then retake the lead?
Yeah, because you're trusting a guy that has earned that trust, and usually a reliever is at least given a few batters a way to get out of it, and Hedrick has certainly earned the right to kind of, and look, he's facing Alvarez, one of the best left-handed batters, one of the best batters in all baseball, and you're hoping that Hedrick can get him out. I mean, who do you want to go to there to face Alvarez if it's not Hedrick?
I don't know, but I know that the guy was 3-for-4 at that time.
No, listen, you're not Alvarez is one of the best hitters in the sport, but Hedrick has been one of the most effective relievers in the sport, and obviously you like him in that spot, even if you think he's a little shaky, although I thought the pitch that he gave up to the home run on wasn't the worst pitch ever. It's just Diaz got him on that.
Okay, so give me just a couple more seconds, right? So now we then bring in a rookie. He gets the last out of the inning, great, and then he gets the first two outs of the next inning. That's a nice job. Let the guy leave on a positive note. No, we're going to leave him in there until he gives up 3 more hits and gives up a few more runs.
Yeah.
And we're now chasing again.
I understand that. And listen, if you go down 2 runs and you're facing Hader, that's not a position you want to be in. Now, he made quick work of the Yankees. Hader did. He's one of the best closers in baseball. But at least when you're down a run, you get lucky. You run into one, you tie the game. So I understand you don't want to give up a second run there in that inning.
No, I get it. And, now we get Chisholm on first, but we have Wells, who has been better of late, but has been absolutely terrible.
Yeah, overall body of work has been terrible. Yep.
I'm an older guy, and I'll just say this. He's no Thurman Munson, right?
Well, he's not even Austin Wells from last year. I mean, he's just been terrible. Kyle Raleigh have been the worst offensive catchers in baseball.
So I don't know. I'm just wondering, can we maybe get somebody up there that can bunt Chisholm the second base?
Well, how about Jazz just steals a base, too? I mean, if Jazz Chisholm, who's been a prolific base stealer really throughout his career, he's having a monster year when it comes to base stealing, he's got to find his way on second base there, and then Wells could move him over.
Except he had really 2 pitches to try and do that. The third pitch, Wells swings at a pitch that's down and in.
I understand that.
It a little more difficult.
Yep.
And then he swings and he gets that lazy ground ball, first baseman makes the play. The pitcher nearly falls all over himself.
Well, he literally did. Abreu did fall over, and I appreciate the play-by-play. He did fall over himself. He fell down on the base and sat on it. But he still got the double play. Look, it doesn't matter how you go about it, as long as you go about it. The Yankees and Aaron Boone have to figure out a situation where they can, manage this bullpen. Hedrick's a guy that looks like he needs a rest. He needs a blow. He needs just... I mean, he's been great all year, and I expect him to be great going forward and into October. And this is why either adding an arm at the deadline or utilizing one of these starting pitchers that are either coming back or, I mean, Weathers would have been a guy. I mean, he's on the IL now, but somebody that you could move over to the bullpen or Clark Schmidt that could be utilized in a high-leverage situation. Because right now it's tough to trust Cruz. And he gave up the home run tonight. He's not been effective as of late. And Hedrick and Blackburn and Bednar have been lights out, but the more innings you put on their plate down the stretch, you're playing with fire because if these guys continue to get overworked, then they might hit a wall, and they're going to hit the wall at the absolute worst time, which is at the end of the year where every game is so critical. Remember, the Yankees have never made the World Series as a wild card team. So winning this division, history would tell you, is where the Yankees need to be. Now, they're only a couple games back. What are they, 3 back now in the loss column? They had an opportunity to get it to 2 had they won, or they would have been 1. I'm always bad with math when it comes to these things. This is why, when I was in school, I wouldn't do the math problems. I would just copy my friend's homework, let's be honest. The teacher would ask me, hey, can you show the work? I'd go, I'd love to. I just didn't do any of the work, so I don't really know what I'm showing you here. I could scribble on a piece of paper and hand it to you. Does that get me out of summer school? Then yes, here you go. Here's the work. Thank you. Can we move on here? I'm going to be on the radio. You didn't know that in 10, 15 years? I don't need math, but apparently I do because I can't do the math here. Here's the bottom line. The Yankees are now 3 games back of Tampa, and the Red Sox are now 2 games back of the Yankees, which sets up, because I think the Yankees, although... I think it's Rodriguez that's going to go later on today. Obviously, pitching and starting pitching is going to be a little bit touch and go in this game. But I would expect, worst case scenario, the Yankees to split the next 2, which sets up for a monster series against Boston, who have now found themselves again. They have now gotten hot again. They've won five in a row, which says a lot about this Red Sox team because they kind of hit the skids and you wondered, hey, is this it? Did they peak at the time where, hey, great run, but they don't have enough left in the tank. They don't have enough gas left in the tank to get across the finish line. That was going to be the ultimate sort of eyeball test here with this Red Sox team. And they have passed it because they had a bad stretch and they've now bounced back. Boston has Roman Anthony, Crochet. I mean, they're getting these massive reinforcements back. And they are right on the heels of the Yankees. And they have a four-game set coming up at Yankee Stadium against those Yankees this weekend. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Simon joins us from New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Simon?
Hey, Tommy. First time calling to your show. I really enjoy listening to you every day.
Appreciate it.
I wanted to make some comments about that idiot manager we have, Boone. He's got to go. I mean, it's the same excuse, the same record on the victual. He finds ways for this team to lose, Tommy. I mean, the pitchers get killed. I mean, they can't take it anymore. I mean, what do they have to do to get some run support? Give blood? Help ladies across the Deegan? I mean, Boone thinks this is a big joke.
Well, listen, here's what I will tell you, Simon. I think Aaron Boone is having one of his best managerial seasons when you consider all these injuries, but I understand where you're coming from, where there is Boone fatigue. I think you speak for a lot of Yankee fans that have Aaron Boone fatigue, and I've been asked this a lot this year. What would it take this season for Aaron Boone to get fired? Nothing. He's not going to get fired. I think the Yankees are going to see it through their contract. He's not going anywhere. Even if they were to lose in the first round, they end up a wild card team and lose in the first round, I don't think he's going anywhere. Even with Alex Cora sitting out there, I think Aaron Boone will be the manager of the Yankees next season.
I mean, Tommy, look who we have. You know, I mean, you never see Hal. Hal could care less about this team. And as for Brian Cashman, and I know I'm going to sound a little curious about him, but the thing about Brian Cashman, only two things he cares about for the last 2 years are climbing down the walls and sleeping outside for charity.
No, I mean, well, listen, he does a lot of great things for charity. But look, the Luis Garcia Jr. trade, I think that's a great trade. I mean, you got this guy under control for this season, next season. His swing is absolutely perfect for Yankee Stadium. Now with Stanton now gone for the year, Garcia
is a disaster.
Yeah, well, Stanton's Yankee career is over, but Garcia, I think, was a massive pickup for them, and he's going to be really good for them, I think, in the next year and a half, and maybe even beyond that. So, look, I understand criticizing Cashman for a lot of the moves, but, you know, I think this Garcia trade, and look, the team is, even with all these injuries, they're right there for the division. I think that says something about Boone and Cashman.
And I wanted to say something about my gift from God, Aaron Judge. That's the nickname I named him. Mm-hmm. I hope we get him back. And he's better off DHing, Tommy. I mean, look, this is like the fourth time he got hurt. He's better off DHing. He's still the captain. He's still clutch. He carries this team. He'd be a perfect DH. I mean, let's face it, Stanton's a walking disaster. Goodbye.
Yeah,
we don't need Stanton.
No, Stanton's done. Here's the problem you run into this. I mean, and I do agree with you to a certain extent, and I do think Aaron Judge will ultimately end up being the DH, or will ultimately end up having a DH, you know, in the latter part of his career to keep him healthy. But where are you putting Ben Rice? Where are you putting Garcia? All right, Stanton walks, you get rid of him, but you have a little bit of a logjam there. So you got to figure out, because Garcia Jr., this guy could be a keeper. Ben Rice looks like a keeper. But Ben Rice doesn't have a position. You want to move him to catcher? He can't field. That's certainly a thought, but the problem with putting him there, because even I have floated out, well, why don't you put Ben Rice a catcher? I said this in the offseason. I've said it at times this year. Even though he is not a great fielder and hasn't really learned a position, you know, really to the point where you would trust starting him there, you know, day in and day out, you don't want to get the guy hurt. That's the thing. And I know Austin Wells has been atrocious this year. He has. Offensively, he's just been abysmal. But defensively, he's been amazing. And he obviously has a great rapport with the pitching staff. But yeah, Aaron Judge will be back. I've been confident this entire time. I mean, different levels of confidence, which I think is okay to drop a little bit in confidence. It's like rain percentage. Oh, it's going to 70% chance it'll rain. Now 80%, 60%. But those are still above 50%. So in all likelihood, it's going to rain. Now I'm back to, I started out at like 90, 95. Now I went down to about 60%. Now I'm back to around 90, 95%. And my prediction is that Judge will be back for the Tampa series. So that's the second to last series of the year. That is a four-game series against Tampa, including a doubleheader in that series. And the Yankees have another doubleheader this weekend against Boston. I don't see Judge back before the Subway Series, which is the weekend of September 11th, which is also the opening weekend of the NFL. And you can't even say, because, you know, as you know, as I've said before, the NFL are pigs. So it's not even an opening weekend anymore for them. It's an opening week because they start on Wednesday, now Thursday. There's probably a Friday game, too. They'll probably jam a few games in on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's a week. The NFL has an opening week. But that week, same week of the Subway Series, is obviously going to be a huge weekend here in New York sports with the debut, the real debut of Harbaugh with the Giants on the sidelines against the Cowboys. The re-debut of Geno Smith down in Nashville to take on the Titans. And then obviously the Subway Series at Yankee Stadium. 888, but I don't think Aaron Judge will be back by then or obviously before then. I think it's going to be a lot closer to the end of the year. And my prediction is the second to last series against Tampa. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Phil joins us from Manhattan next year on After Hours. What's up, Phil?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. You know, I hope that the Yankees don't play Aaron Judge until his rib injury is fully healed. And there's a lot of pressure, you know, to bring Judge back. And I hope they don't do it prematurely because that could really end his career.
I don't think they will. I really don't. We're talking about their most prized possession. We're talking about Aaron Judge. I think the Yankees will err on the side of caution. They have time here. They have another month and change of regular season games. There's no need to rush. You want him to get a couple of ABs before October, a couple of games under his belt, but there's no need. They have enough, in my opinion, to still win this division, even if Aaron Judge doesn't return until the end of September. Right. So I don't think, Phil, that they're going to be... You know, they're not going to do anything reckless here with Judge.
That's very reassuring to hear. And regarding, Giancarlo Stanton, I'm a big Giancarlo Stanton fan, and I feel kind of badly over the idea that his career may be over.
I'm not sure about his career, but I think his Yankee career is over. He'll land somewhere else. Look, he's close to 500 home runs. I don't think his baseball career is over, but Phil, I do think his Yankee career is.
Well, I hope not. I've seen Aaron. I've seen Judge and Stanton do some really great things.
Of course.
Going to a lot of Yankee games.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, both of them are such great players, especially Judge, of course. But I've seen.
Yeah, but Stanton is no slouch either. Like I said, if he gets the 500 home runs, he's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's obviously been a tremendous postseason performer, one of the great postseason performers in Yankee history. The problem, though, Phil, is that the reliability's out there, and he's always hurt.
Right.
He's been out since April, and if you're the Yankees, if you're Brian Cashman, you know, you got younger players in Rice and Garcia, et cetera. It's time to move on from Stanton.
Right. Time to move on, yeah.
Yep.
But even so, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, to me, I'll miss them when he's gone. I really will, in terms of his contribution to the Yankees.
Yeah, I get that, especially in October, Phil. I mean, that's where you're going to miss him the most, because you know what? When it comes to a guy like Rice or Garcia, they're unproven in October. Bellinger still has to exercise some demons in October. So does Judge. Stanton, you knew when it got to the postseason, he was going to show up and elevate his game. Even if he missed time in the regular season, which he often did, when it got to the postseason, Stanton was going to be very much reliable and a huge bat and a huge postseason performer.
Can I ask you one more question?
Of course.
Regarding baseball and the DH, could a team have two DHs? You know, I know right now, you know, this is all hypothetical. The possibility of two DHs
right.
and playing eight players in the field instead of nine.
Well, no. I mean, there's not going to be multiple DHs. That's not happening. Now, you might have multiple DHs on your team, multiple people that you have in the DH slot. But no, I don't think that we're going to turn anything into the Savannah Bananas where we take infielders or fielders off the field. No. But the Yankees, they have too many DHs. And that's going to be it's a problem for another day, especially because Stanton's not going to come back this year, and I don't think he's going to be with this team next year. But when you look at Rice, you look at Judge, you look at Garcia, and Aaron Judge, if you're going to preserve this guy, because now he's kind of crossing over to that 35 years old age, you're going to want to try to keep him healthy. And when you're in the outfield, it increases the risk of injury. You're diving for the baseball, you're running into the wall, you're just putting yourself in more harm than obviously sitting on your fanny in the dugout eating sunflower seeds. Or maybe you're sitting next to Jazz Chisholm and you enjoy a nice lollipop with Jazz. Although I don't think Jazz is going to be back next year either, but You get the idea. And I think Garcia will be the first baseman next year. Rice will be the DH. Judge will still be the right fielder. But after that, because you don't know if Garcia is going to resign or anything of that, you know, the Yankees, I would imagine, would want him back if he continues to play like this. But if he continues to play like this, he'll obviously be a hot commodity in free agency. So let's just say Garcia moves on. That's where it opens up a first base DH kind of combo for Judge, as he'll be 36, 37 years old at that point. And I assume he's going to play into his late 30s, early 40s, especially if he's still chasing a ring. Look, Aaron Judge, I know Bonds didn't win. I know Griffey didn't win, but they didn't play for the Yankees. Aaron Judge plays for the Yankees. To think that his career would end at some point and retire without winning a championship, I mean, that's going to be a tough one for Judge. That's an almost impossible one to overcome. And you could point to a bunch of different things and say, well, this is why they didn't win. This is why they didn't win. This is why they didn't win. When you are a Yankee, as great as Judge is, and he's great, and he's going to put up legendary numbers, and he's going to be a lot of people's favorite Yankee. But when you don't win a championship, and you wear pinstripes, and you're a Yankee, and you are great, there's always going to be the yeah, but. You don't want a yeah, but. Yeah, he was great, but. Yeah, he was amazing, but. Yeah, he was generational, but. You don't want any buts. Unless it's a J-Lo butt. But we're talking about a butt with one T, not two T's. And in that case, it would be a situation where Aaron Judge would never be able to recover from it. And now look, he's obviously had a great career. He made a ton of money. But I'm sure there's a part of him that'll be upset that he won a championship. But I'm talking about from the discourse, the Yankee fan discourse, or even, hey, baseball fans discourse, how Aaron Judge is remembered. If it doesn't include a championship, if it doesn't include a ring, even if it's a Ray Bourque situation, you know, late in the career, he hangs on, you know, he's not the star of the team, but he's a contributor, and he wins a ring, then he's all right. I'm sure there'll still be some people that do the, yeah, but it was only one, but you know what? One win, at least you got off the board there, and you got a championship. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie here in the late night. You know, it was good to see Bellinger hit a home run last night. You know, this is somebody that has missed a bunch of time. And remember, Bellinger, outside of the All-Star game, was struggling mightily at the plate. Mightily. I mean, he was mired in just an awful stretch. And then he got hurt. And obviously he's back now. So he hadn't homered since, what, June? Or July or whatever the case is. He hadn't homered in a while. It was his first home run in a very, very, very long time. And you hope that that gets Bellinger going, because Bellinger, he's another one that you throw in there. Hey, October struggles, but if he hits, because, yeah, the star's got to be there. And Bellinger is a star in his own right, but it's, once you start going from Judge on down, right, you get Judge has got to hit. Okay, but now these other guys got to start. And then they're sort of bracketed and, okay, now Rice, Bellinger, Garcia. Okay, then after him, those three guys. Then you have Jazz. Then you have Wells. You have a Lombard, Grisham. And they're sort of bracketed into groupings. But all those guys got to produce. The pitching is there, top to bottom. You're going to get Fried back. You're going to get even more reinforcements back in the pitching staff, which I think is the best in baseball. You know, top to bottom, I think the Yankees have the best pitching staff in all of baseball. Starting staff, I'd give to the Dodgers, but one to the end there, as far as pitchers, the entire staff, I would give it to the Yankees. 888-808-1019, that is the phone number to call. If you're on hold, we will get to you. We got another 90 minutes here of After Hours. We'll open up the conversation a little bit more to the Mets, as they had a very emotional big win against the Brewers at Citi Field. We'll get into the football, as today is training camp show day here on The Fan. Joe Shane and Harbaugh will join Boomer and Geo. Brian Burns and Isaiah Likely will join the midday show, Evan and Sean. Afternoon show, Jackson Dart will join the guys as McMonagle returns from vacation. And then, well, no one will be joining me. I don't think I'm getting a giant player, but I understand that. We're coming on the air at like 11 o'clock at night. I don't expect any of these players to be staying up that late. They got to get their beauty sleep. They don't have to be creatures of the night like I am and my wonderful after-hours audience is. But we have plenty to get into as we roll along here for the next 90 minutes. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is a Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 12:30 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Hopefully everybody had a pleasant Luke evening. It is after hours here on The Fan. Let's do a fan focus. And look, the Giants have gone through training camp here, and with one preseason game remaining in the regular season against Dallas week one on Sunday Night Football, only a few weeks away. Look, they've gotten through a lot of these weeks without any kind of major injuries. Unfortunately, that streak ended yesterday as Calvin Austin Jr. was carted off the field. It doesn't look good. I would imagine, and I hate speculating on this, so let's put it this way, he's going to be out for a while, which opens up the door for, and I think Odell was going to make the team anyway. I mean, it's a crowded wide receiver room, I understand that, but Darius Slayton is still on this team. And if you said, hey, would I rather have Slayton or Beckham? I'd rather have Beckham. I'm just so done, and have been so done with Darius Slayton. I cannot believe that he has lasted this long. You know, I think I'm in junior mode, by the way. I think I called Calvin Austin Jr. There's just so many juniors these days. I mean, I feel like the Yankees have traded for like 15,000 juniors. Everybody's a junior. Well, really, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, anybody could really be a junior. I mean, I'm a junior to my father. I don't have to have the same name to be a junior. Is that the rules here? They are, in fact, the rules. But we break the rules here on After Hours. You know, rules are made to be broken on After Hours. That's the kind of vibe we have here. That's the kind of environment we have here. We take the rules and we throw them out the window. We're very unconventional here on this show. But it was unfortunate to see Calvin Austin go down. He was going to be a help on special teams and in that wide receiver room. The good news is Malik Nabers is trending towards playing in week one. I mean, Harbaugh all but confirmed that. And I'm sure he'll be asked about it when he joins Boomer and Geo later on this morning. Let me get the exact time for you. I keep promoting it. Then I got to get the exact time. It's 7:15. And then Joe Shane's what, 8:15? Yeah, there you go. So 7:15 for Harbaugh, 8:15 for Joe Shane. They will join the guys, Boomer and Geo, in the morning. And I'm sure they're going to ask about Malik Nabers. But Harbaugh all but confirmed it on Monday. Basically said it's safe to assume that Malik Nabers will be ready to go for week one. And I'm thrilled about that. Look, I have kind of gone back and forth on when I thought Nabers would return. The idea that he didn't go on the PUP list to start training camp was a massive sign in the positive, right foot in the right direction kind of thing. And now, it's hard to think that he won't be playing Nabers in week one. I thought the Giants might err a little bit on the side of caution. I thought they might play it a little easy, and they still, I suppose, could. But boy, it, by all accounts, it looks like Malik Nabers is going to be ready to go Sunday Night Football week one against the Cowboys, which, look, the eyeballs on that game. You know, obviously it's Giants, it's Cowboys, it's Harbaugh, it's Dart. There is going to be so much focus on that game. And week one in general, the NFL is overreaction. You know, if you lose, oh, the season's over. If you win, we're going to the Super Bowl. But there's going to be even extra hyperbolic, over-the-top reaction to that game because of the Harbaugh effect. And we talked about the Jet optimism and how many Jet fans, Jet content creators, even now non-Jet fans in my life who are so optimistic about this Jet season, which could end rather quickly if they lose to Saleh and he's pumping his fists in Nashville. And then you're staring at the Packers, and then you're staring at two road games against the Bears and Lions. And that's not a pretty schedule in the first month. But the Giants, the Jet optimism is there, 6 wins, 7 wins, which is nuts, but still, there are people that think they're going to win 6 or 7 games. I won't even talk about anybody saying over 7 wins, but when it comes to the Giants, I mean, there are people, including myself, that have predicted they would win double-digit games. So obviously, and then there are people that think the Giants are going to fall flat on their face. So the reaction to that week one performance, and most importantly, the result of that, will go a long way into people's takes and fans' reactions, sort of, oh, all right, so maybe we're not going to go to the playoffs this year. Maybe we're going to be a team on the mend here, on the rebuild. And if we double our win total from last year, but we miss out on the playoffs, that's still a step in the right direction, which you would be correct in saying that. I still have giant expectations, though, going into the season, meaning I looked at what the Patriots did last year. I looked at what the Jags did. I looked at what the Bears did, but most specifically what the Patriots did because of the coach with experience that came in Vrabel, and then the young quarterback in Drake May, and they were able to, yes, with an easy schedule, and yes, with a championship game against a backup quarterback with, you know, 35 feet of snow, the Patriots still got to the Super Bowl with that combination. Now, I'm not suggesting the Giants are going to the Super Bowl, but I do think they are going to the playoffs. And if they don't go to the playoffs, I would view it as a giant disappointment. Now, things like Dart being hurt and now for a while, even though Jameis Winston is a very capable backup, you know what you're getting from Jameis Winston, though. A lot of touchdowns, a lot of interceptions, and not necessarily a whole lot of wins. So if Winston had to play a stretch which was more than a game or two, then I could understand where the Giants would fall short on my giant expectations. But if Dart is out there for the overwhelming majority of the regular season, then the Giants, in my estimation, should be and will be a playoff team. Especially when you're getting Neighbors back for week one. I mean, I had those expectations thinking that Neighbors could miss a month or more. But I was still confident in this team and the direction and the smash mouth style of football and the running game and an improved defense. Because if this defense does not improve, because the linebacking core has gotten just miles better than what it was, the secondary is still a bit of a worry. But this defensive line, I'm sorry, there's just too much talent on that line for them not to reach their potential, which they haven't as the unit has been together for these last, you know, couple of years. And Arvel Reese, now, I will say this about Reese. To be fair here, if it feels like, man, this guy's he's banging the drum too much for the Giants. Okay, fine, I'll throw you a bone here. Everybody's going goo goo gaga. Everybody's got their tongue out, you know, wagging their tongue at Arvel Reese, and they're saying all these amazing things about him. And he obviously comes with a lot of promise. You know, the reason the Jets passed on him because he was going to be more of a project in their eyes, in the eyes of most of the NFL. I mean, that was sort of the book on Arvel Reese. Very high ceiling, but could be a project, a little bit of a raw talent coming out of Ohio State. Everything you've heard about Reese this summer has been just rave reviews. Where I pause, and this goes for David Bailey too, where I pause a little bit is they said the same things about Abdul Carter last summer. And he had a very disappointing rookie season. Sort of on the field and off the field. Not saying Reese is going to fall into where Carter's going to fall to, or Bailey's going to fall into where Carter fell into last year. And I'm not even saying that Abdul Carter is a bust. Far from it. He's still got a couple more years to prove himself. But be careful. This goes for preseason and training camp. Both positively and negatively. Be careful. In putting any stock in what you hear, see about performances in camp or in the preseason. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. By the way, I'm stunned. You know, like before I went to Nashville, George Lombard Jr. was going to the Hall of Fame on roller skates. He was Ozzie Smith. He was going to be the greatest defensive shortstop in the history of the sport. And now here we are only a couple days later, and George Lombard Jr., people are acting like he's Anthony Volpe. And yeah, he's going through it a little bit defensively right now. There's no denying that. There's no hiding from that. And yes, we do tend to overhype prospects, especially if they have early success. And you couldn't have had a better debut than George Lombard Jr. You know, you hit a home run, you make a great defensive play, the first ball hit to you. I mean, the team has been winning. They've been very successful ever since Lombard got called up. And we've already seen signs of leadership when it comes to Lombard. But it just goes to show you sometimes how your stock can drop, fall in just a week or so. Look, if you're going to go too high with the expectations or the claims, or you're going to go too low, what I would suggest, even to myself, is meet somewhere in the middle. You know, the guy's been in the big leagues for a couple of weeks. He's still super young. There are going to be growing pains, as there are with any young player. And right now, with Lombard, especially defensively, these are what I would call growing pains. Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn. He joins us next here on After Hours. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I did a little research about the way Lombard is approaching the ground balls with a one hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I came across Dansby Swanson, who has like an 11-minute video where he professes that all great plays are made with one hand and this is the way to do it. And apparently there's a lot of, you know, proponents now who are agreeing with it. But, you know, there's pros and cons to it. They say, you know, your reach is better. You could be more creative. You could, you know, there are things you can
do. Well, it goes against the conventional wisdom, you know what I mean? Like, when you throw that, whenever you threw, like, one hand on the, you know what I mean? That's always had, like, kind of a negative connotation when it comes to baseball. You always hear two hands. But maybe that's just more of a new modern way of looking at it.
I'm open to it. Yeah, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are saying what you're saying right here. The thing is, when he's transferring the ball from glove to hand, I get it. It's only like a week's worth of, you know, misdeeds or whatever it is, 3 days, 4 days.
Yep.
But it seems a little strange how he can't transfer it. Like, or why he hasn't been doing it, I don't know.
I think it's kind of one of those things where if it persists, this problem, Dave, you know, George and the coaching staff, they got to go to the videotape, so to speak, the drawing board, and figure out. Now, this might be something he's been doing his whole career, but, you know, this is a bunch of errors and a bunch of games here. If it's not growing pains and maybe it's something he's doing mechanically, then it's something they need to look at. But I just think it's growing pains.
Okay. I think you're probably right. I certainly hope so. Okay. You have a great show, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dave. Thanks for being a part of it. Yeah, That's just my estimation here. And I said this last night because I was obviously away. I was in Nashville, so I wasn't completely and utterly glued or locked in on anything. I'll be fully a disclosure here. You know, when I go on vacation, I don't do podcasts. I go on vacation and enjoy myself. Not saying that I'm in the right or someone else is in the wrong. That's just the way I go about it. It's a good way to cleanse yourself a little bit from the job, from the life and everything, and go enjoy your time away. But when I got back, I was like, wait a second, what happened to George Lombard Jr. over the weekend? Did the guy basically forget how to play baseball? He forgot how to field? Because when I went on vacation, he was Ozzie Smith. He was the greatest defensive shortstop in history. He was Omar Vizquel. He was, he's going to win all these gold gloves. And by the way, I still think he can win a gold glove. What we saw early on, that player still exists. And what you're seeing now, I think, is more of maybe a young player. A little nervous at times, perhaps. I don't know. You know, just sometimes you get a little bit in your head. It's fair to do that as far as that uniform, that position, with the microscope that you have on you as a member of the Yankees. And you're coming in down the stretch to a team that was struggling and struggling offensively. Although since Lombard's here, the Yankees have been playing better baseball. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Manny. He joins us in Brooklyn. What's up, Manny?
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
I'm a big Giants fan. I hear you saying that anything under 9 wins is a failure for the Giants. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that's my opinion on it. There are a lot of people that would say it is ridiculous, but that's my stance on it because I have high expectations. But there are plenty of people, Manny, and it sounds like you're one of them, that if the team won 7 or 8 games this year, you would in fact view that as a success, perhaps even a major success.
I'm saying they had Dexter Lawrence last year, even in a down year. Still one of the best defensive tackles in football.
Right.
They lost him.
Okay.
They didn't improve their cornerback for absolute disaster.
Did they improve their head coach by leaps and bounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
Would you say that head coaching means a lot in the NFL?
For sure.
Would you say, the Giants' lack of success since Coughlin and the Jets' lack of success since Rex has a lot to do with head coaching?
Probably.
Yeah, so my point is you're bringing it. I mean, look at what the Patriots did last year. I mean, they went from the outhouse to the Super Bowl because they brought in a Vrabel. Who knows what he's doing? I would think that Harbaugh, based on his success and his track record, knows what he's doing. Now, as far as Dex, let's be real, though, Manny. Dexter Lawrence last year, they couldn't stop the run with him, and at times he looked checked out. So I'm not sure that how much of a departure Dexter Lawrence is actually going to, as far as an impact on this team in a negative way, actually be.
If you look at the stats, he actually got double teamed.
No, okay, you want to tell me that he opened? You want to tell me that opened up for Burns?
Impact.
Okay, but what do you? What did it impact?
They still couldn't do anything.
Right, but what did it impact?
That's a problem. And now they just lost that.
Okay,
right.
So how many wins do you think the Giants are going to have?
A problem. I think they're probably going to have like 5. I hope they have.
So
like
you think
7.
They have one more win?
They have to keep in mind. There's no reason to assume that Malik Nabers is going to be healthy.
Well, wait, hold on a second. The head coach told us on Monday to assume so.
No. Obviously, he's going to be healthy to start the season.
Right.
I'm saying to complete the season. He hasn't been healthy at all so far.
Well, he had a concussion in year one, and then he had a major knee injury in year two. That does happen. So if you want to label him injury prone, I suppose that's fair. I think it's more fair to say he might not be the same player coming off this major injury, because we have seen guys lose a step when they have that type of injury. But you think they win one more game in their first full season of Harbaugh? You think the Giants only improved by one win?
I don't see how they got that much better. They lost one of their best defensive players, and maybe Arvel Reese will do something for them.
Do you think that? Well, hold on now. Now, Abdul Carter, better. I'll say this like this: better take a leap in the second year. And I think if Carter does that any better, that will take the loss of Dexter Lawrence and at least negate it. So there you go. So now Carter, better in year two, that negates the loss of Dexter Lawrence. You've also improved your linebacking core by leaps and bounds. Now I agree with you. The secondary still has a little bit of an issue. I think the wide receiver room is better. Heck, I think the running back room is better. If Scadaboo healthy, I think overall. And with Darton is in year two, you're not dealing with Russell Wilson to start the year. And most importantly, I keep going back to it, Manny, Harbaugh. If the season plays out the way Manny just said, it will be bedlam here if the Giants win five games in their first year with John Harbaugh. Bedlam. There will be people calling for his job. They cannot. So if you think I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games, they better not win five games. They better not win five games. And one of the things I think they're going to do, Harbaugh, if you want to point to the defense, I understand that. I get it. They can't stop the run. And until they can prove to stop the run, it is a problem. And there are secondary issues. That's why I wanted Caleb Downs. But Francis Maui know it. Hard to argue against that. An offensive lineman, top 10, when you want to protect your most prize possession, which is your young quarterback in Jackson Dart. I can't argue with going with offensive lineman there, even though I wanted the player in Downs, and it sucks that he went to the Cowboys. What I think Harbaugh is going to do to nullify or to mask some of the deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball is the Giants are going to run the ball a lot. They're going to pound the run. They're going to try to play clock control. You sign a fullback. You beef up your running back room. You get Scadaboo back. You know, Najee Harris, I mean, last year he got hurt, but I mean, every year prior to that, he was well north of 1,000 yards as a runner. Now he's coming off a major injury, so who knows, but still. And I'm not giving up on Tyrone Tracy. Now, if he continues to make mistakes, he's certainly going to get in the doghouse. And if you're in the doghouse with Harbaugh, you might find that your playing time is severely diminished. I think the way that the Giants, look, you rather have neighbors on the field than not. The Giants, though, I think are going to build their offense very similar to what you saw in Baltimore, that oftentimes did not have that number one wide receiver. It's going to be a lot of running. It's going to be a lot of the quarterback running, too. Or should I say the quarterback's going to complement also the rushing attack? Meaning, we're not just going to run Jackson Dart, but Jackson Dart and his legs are going to be a big part of this running game. And then the plays of the tight end, Theo Johnson, who obviously has a good rapport with Dart. Isaiah Likely, a guy that's going to join Marash and Evan later on today on the midday show. I think Isaiah Likely is going to have a monster year, a breakout year. He's a guy I've been pumping up for months here. Somebody that has now been given an opportunity to get more playing time with the Giants. He wasn't given that opportunity in Baltimore because they had Mark Andrews. But whenever I saw Isaiah Likely get that chance with Andrews being out, you know, maybe for a week or two, Likely stepped up and showed a impressive skill set. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Ron joins us from Rockland next here on After Hours. What's up, Ron?
How you doing? I was concerned about, you know, the Giants receiver room. I think we got deeper in a way, but I'm a little bit worried that that's more of a namesake thing. I'm concerned. I want to know what you think about the Giants receiver room. I also have one more quick thing.
Well, a guy that I haven't mentioned yet, and I should have, but is Malachi Fields. I mean, and he's a rookie, still got to prove it. But this is a guy that I think could come in and be an instant red zone threat. Now, as far as the depth, yeah, you bring in guys, and now they've obviously gotten rid of Juju Smith-Schuster, but you bring in Berrios, you bring in Beckham, so you're bringing in household names, but I still think likely profiles as not only a tight end, but a wide receiver. You brought in Darnell Mooney, Beckham, like I said. There's a lot of names there. I think overall, this wide receiver room will not be a detriment to this team. I maybe not as go as far as saying it'll be like an overwhelming strength, but I don't think it will hurt the team.
Okay. And my other thing, which I do not think is being talked about enough, is the change in coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think we had, maybe I'm just young here, but I think we had genuinely one of the worst defensive coordinators I've ever seen in my life in Shane Bowen.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. I thought the Giants coaching staff last year was one of the worst coaching staffs they've ever had. It was abysmal top to bottom, including on defense. No. So I totally agree with you. Totally agree. I think it was more coaching last year, Ron, than it was the personnel on the team.
Yes. I think the talent is there. I think the coaching, especially, and I know the offense had its problems, but I mean, defensively, the coaching was
horrific. I mean, they blew a million leads. It was so bad. It was so bad. And like you said, and I've said it a million times, there is a lot of talent on this defense, and they added talent in the offseason with the right coaching on both sides of the ball, but specifically defense here. They will elevate their game, I think, exponentially.
I absolutely agree. I think they got much better on the defensive side of the ball. I think, like you said, the linebacker core is 100 steps better. I think I like the depth we have at, you know, the cornerback room and defensive backs. I also really like that we brought in Ardarius Washington.
Yep.
You know, I think we have some real weapons. You know, I think we have one of the best front fours in all of football. And the signing of Tremaine Edmonds has been severely, I believe, underrated.
Yeah, underrated and not talked about enough because he's kind of a lunch pail guy. But he is one of the most consistent linebackers in the NFL over the last couple of years. And it's
pair him with Arvell Reese.
Right, with Reese, no doubt about it.
So I agree. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yep, and you get, you know, Micah McFadden back. So the linebacker room, I should say, to me, got way better. Way better. We know the defensive line and what it can be. Linebacking got way better. Secondary, if there was a question mark on defense besides the ability or inability to stop the run, it would be the secondary. No doubt about it. If you want to go as far as saying that Javon Holland's going to have a better year than he did last year, have at it. I don't have any grandiose claims about this secondary. I really don't. That's why I screamed for Caleb Downs for weeks. I screamed about it because I felt like they needed a guy in the secondary, not only to be a leader, not only to be an impact player, somebody that can help you stop the run. They just needed a force in that secondary because they don't have one. Now, there are ways to mask it, like I brought up before. Running the ball, clock control, pass rush, not exploiting that secondary. But until I see this group, which I am admittedly nervous about, until I see them put together a lot of good performances back to back to back to back, then my fear and my worry is going to stay persistent. But yes, I was saying this last year, and I'm so glad, Ron, you agree with me, because I fully feel I am correct in saying this. And that's why when a caller prior to Ron said, Manny said, hey, the Giants are only going to win 5 games this year. I vehemently disagree with that because last year they won, 4 games with a horrible coaching staff. Now I expect a way better coaching staff. I think the roster is better. You're telling me that equals 1 win? Now you want to say, hey, they win 7 games, they win 8 games. I think you're a little nuts, Tommy, for saying 10 wins. Don't see them making the playoffs. Fine. Like, I have my Giant expectations. I've had them ever since Harbaugh got hired. That is my sort of cross to bear. That is the boat that I've chosen to go in. And also, the NFL has turned into a league where you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse. You can turn things around in 1 year. We saw it with several teams last year, including the Patriots that went to the Super Bowl, including the Bears that went to the division round, including the Jaguars that got to the playoffs. And what do all those three teams have in common besides new coaches last year? They have young quarterbacks. Lawrence got back to playing better football under Liam Cohen, who's a brilliant offensive mind. Ben Johnson, same thing. Caleb Williams, who I loved coming out of USC. I know a lot of people were down on him for various reasons, but I knew he could play. And he's now, to me, enters this season. If you think I'm nuts. Perhaps I am. I think Caleb Williams is a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think he's that good. Look at where those three teams and those three franchises I just said. I mean, the Jags won double-digit games. The Giants could absolutely be one of those three teams. 1,000%. 1,000%. If they win five, if it's a five game, 4 or 5 win season, then something went horrifically wrong. Horrifically. And I just don't see that happening at all. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the Yankees. We have a guy on the line that was, and you heard it every time that Altuve went to the plate. I mean, the boos were just thunderous. We have a guy on the line right now that was a part of the boos towards Altuve. If you want to talk Jets, you want to talk Giants, Yankees, we'll mix. How about the Mets tonight? How about the emotion on the field at Citi Field? We'll get into that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. I got you till 2 a.m., so the final hour of After Hours is on deck. The phone number to join the conversation, if you haven't already, is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan.